Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Well, the good news is I have now played the correct intro for the show two nights in a row. Did the right one for the Army show last night. Did the right one for this show tonight. So I feel good about myself. Joe, how the hell are you doing today?
I would too. I'm good. Missing Rob. I mean, if I went two in a row, I would feel good about myself. That's not a that's not being facetious. If I can use a fancy word today, but I'm great. You want to talk about Saturday? You want to wait for Rob?
Well, let's just shoot the breeze here for a minute. Rob is driving across the island of Hawaii right now, doing Army things and thinking Army thoughts. So I am your guest ring knocker, and I see that he's in the outline. He should be in here shortly. So so right now we have one O and one NCO, and of course the O is lost. Anyway, I can see that he's here. He should be here shortly. Tell me what you watched on Saturday while we're waiting for him to log in.
You know, I got it started. I had to get my my therapy in after Michigan lost. They don't lose a whole lot of games early on in the season. So when they do, you know, it was nice to see them bounce back against Central Michigan and win by 60. And then the real football got going with Georgia, Tennessee, Clemson, Georgia Tech.
That was a great game.
You know, Miami laying the statement to sell Florida. And then UFC Noche was an unbelievable card. So I did it all on Saturday as far as sports.
You hit a big parlay, yeah?
Yes. I hit two.
Wow, that's good.
Thank God for Haynes King. I'd buy that kid a beer if he was legal, and I met him anywhere. And Texas A&M doing what I thought they would. I laid a big stat parlay on their offense because I thought they'd hang a big number on Notre Dame. And I didn't say I called the upset, but I certainly thought them being that big of dogs was ridiculous.
I did not realize that was an upset. I would not have made Notre Dame a favorite over A&M. Rob, take it away, man. We're happy to have you. And we missed you last night. I don't know if you listened to last night's show yet, but it was chaos without you, let me just say.
Well, you know, c'est la vie. These things happen. I am literally 7 minutes away from Waikiki Beach, and I have not seen the beach. I've seen the inside of more military buildings than anything else. The downside of contract work. You know, I'm literally like I can throw a football and hit beachgoers. Cool, but not cool. But
you gotta go to the beach, man.
Interesting.
I will say this is the most Hawaiian I've ever seen you look. Getting the whole hair, the polo. I mean, you do. You look like you go out there and coach the Flying Rainbows.
Yeah, I've gone native for sure. So So welcome to the show. I don't know if you got through the intro or not.
Yeah, we sort of made it up.
Yeah. Yeah, or is Georgia Tech that good? I think they're on a mission this season. Looking at the rest of their schedule, they might be able to do some damage in the ACC. Not sure if they'll win it, but I think they'll be competitive. We watched the Dogs need extra innings to take down the Balls, and Miami sent a message to the ACC after dealing UCF their first loss of the season. And we saw the coaching carousel open early this week, and rumors are already flying, but – what's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob. I am no longer in Fayetteville, North Carolina. I am actually in Waikiki, Hawaii. Long story. I'll tell you later. We got Dano Ikebesa in Coastal Connecticut and Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House. You guys already talked about what you guys are doing. Talked about your football, I think, is everything else that you guys watched. I watched a bunch of games this weekend. Hardcore, and it's a lot easier to watch football when Army's not playing because it's a little bit less stressful, I think.
Yeah. I feel that way when Michigan's not playing.
Yeah, you know, thank goodness for bye weeks. But interesting Saturday. I think there was a lot of good football that was played. And again, I think we're starting to see, you know, the pretenders and contenders are starting to separate themselves early this season. Yep. I think, I saw a meme over the weekend that made me chuckle. It was like a sign that says road to the national playoffs, and then there's an exit sign, Clemson exit here. You know, and so I think we've got some teams that were in contention last year that have kind of lost their place. But speaking of losing your place or finding a new one, we have the realtor for you. So if you listen to this show at all, we have a realtor that is sponsoring us, and her name is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're PCSing to the Fort Bragg area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her military career in logistics there. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market. She will provide exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extensive network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're relocating somewhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, she should be your first call. Jocelyn's decided to support us at Astro Football, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. If you're not moving specifically at Bragg, you still need a realtor you can trust, and Jocelyn does make recommendations. It won't cost you anything. Just reach out to her, let her put you in touch with somebody with actual integrity and can help you move into a home. Dano, if you don't mind, could you run down the service academies?
Army's 101, they had a bye this week. Omar and I broke that the game against North Texas down in some detail yesterday on the Army football show, so I'm not going to belabor it here. But it was a well-timed bye, I think, for the Black Knights. Navy is freaking 3-0. Their offense is cooking, man, and that defense looks okay. They shellacked Tulsa despite giving up three turnovers early in the game and going down 14-0, which is wild. You would think if you spot the other team 14 points, you'd at least be in a game. But nope. And Air Force is 1-1 after losing to Utah State by 19 points. Zoomies ran the ball well when they could hold on to it, but three turnovers were the difference in the game. Honestly, I just want Army to beat Air Force right now. I think we might need that game for bowl eligibility, but we can't see. Yeah. Outside of the FBS, you got the Coast Guard Academy 1-1. They got a bounce back win after Curry College, and they will take on Nichols this week in New London. You can watch that on Flow College streaming service. And Merchant Marine Academy, they're 2-0. They beat Nichols, and they'll be traveling to Norwich University, the birthplace of ROTC this week. So that's a really interesting game.
Yeah, that should be a good one. Joe, time for you to move on to your weekly award. So now he's got a new segment. Like we're adding to it, which is great because I think college football deserves it, and not all accolades are good. So the first accolade that we will talk about is the Blue Falcon of the Week, Joe.
Yeah, at least I'm taking a low blow at somebody above my age this time. But like I said, I'm not one to kick a man when he's down often, so I'll make this short. But the Virginia Tech Hokies have started off 0-3 for the first time since the inaugural season of Frank Beamer. Whew, that is a long time ago. They just lost at home to Old Dominion 45-26. And I'm saying that slowly because it's unbelievable. In what was some of the most uninspiring football I've ever seen come from a team wearing that uniform. I don't know if someone explained the job expectations of the Hokie faithful to Brent Pry, but before he signed for all those millions, because I guarantee in said expectations, nowhere will you find that it's acceptable to lose to Old Dominion by 3 touchdowns. For the reasons listed above, Brent Pry, you, sir, have been named the Blue Falcon of the Week because there's so many good hold my beer candidates. So I was focused more on the positive this time around. But if you want me to roll right into it, Rob, I will.
Good. Go for it, Joe.
All right.
Yeah.
So go for it. This was one of the best games of the week. It was Georgia Tech Clemson. And this was a tough one. There were several people that threw themselves into contention for the hold my beer moment. I was leaning heavily towards Haynes King. Anybody that goes into a game as an underdog against a top 10 school, leads his team to victory while throwing for 200 yards, rushing for 100 and a touchdown, deserves recognition. Just like the movies, the quarterback gets the girl, but it's the kicker that makes sure the movie has a happy ending. And that is why for 2 weeks in a row, the whole my beer moment's going to a kicker. Aiden Beer, I swear I didn't make that up, place kicker for Georgia Tech. Not only did the junior from Kennendale, Texas, connect on his only two attempts of 40 and 42, when the chips were down and his team needed a 55-yard moon boot to beat Clemson of all teams, Aiden said, "You guessed it, hold my beer, watch this," and drilled the game winner from 55. So, Aiden Beer, you are this week's winner of the hold my beer moment in college football.
Unfortunately, that one is pretty poignant for us Vols fans because, of course, the Volunteers missed a 43-yard kick to win and avoid overtime this past weekend. And having now seen that twice in college football for teams that I cheer for, I don't want to see that again because that sucks.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the things that's starting to become really, really interesting now is just the fact that, like, I think this is going to be the year of special teams. You know, like, typically, like, we always talk about kickers and things like that. But, like, if you look at, you know, the number of kick returns that have happened so far, we're in week three. I think there's been 10 or 15 kicks returned in some variation, like, either really, really deep or for touchdowns. So I think those are going to be game breakers as we move into the rest of the season. You know, yeah, certainly if you are a fan of the team that got the no time on the clock kick against you, you're not happy about it. But if you're the team that, you know, your kicker can come in after, you know, chilling on the sidelines the whole time and still have enough focus to boot a freaking game winner at the last minute, I think that's huge. And that will pay you dividends later in the season. Like, we almost had, you know, Ohio State in the freaking national championship a few years ago based off the foot of a kicker. You know, so I think that's important to see, like, these kids with the high volume kick wins towards the season, because I think that's going to be the difference maker. And there's some guy in the NFL that's like booting 65 yard kicks now.
Oh, I saw that game. That was unreal. Unreal what he did.
It was the kicker from
the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys. Yeah. And I'm going to miss it. I'm going to mess his name up, but he booted it to tie the game and go to overtime. And without that, the Cowboys don't win. Brendan Aubrey, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If he doesn't make that kick, they lose.
Yeah, and that's bonkers that it's from 65 yards, but that just goes to show you, like, it's just like anything. Like, if one guy does it, you're going to see a whole bunch more of those in the next couple of years because people are going to start perfecting their technique. And
you better be indoors for that one, because that was indoors.
He's a former pro soccer player. They had a whole segment on him, as you would if a guy can nail a 65-yard game winner. But, dude, that was both awe-inspiring and just made me want to cringe at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. And, again, it all depends on which team you're rooting for, whether or not it hurts you that badly. All right, so let's move on to the top 10 this week. Joe, what you got?
All right. Number one is the Ohio State Buckeyes. No change there. They stay firmly planted at the number one spot after a tricky first half with the Ohio Bobcats. The Buckeyes are just too strong and pulled away in the end, though, 37-9. Ohio State is off this Saturday and travels to Washington on the 27th. At number two, we got the Penn State Nittany Lions. No change for them either as they squashed Villanova 52-6. To stay in the number two slot. James Franklin may just have the stars aligned for him this year as they are off this week before they have to travel to play Oregon on the 27th. Now, I may have that wrong, but it doesn't matter. They got Oregon, and they have played nobody. I wanted to see them tested, and they certainly will be that day. At number three, LSU, no change. The Tigers stay at the three spot after handling Florida in a strong in-conference win, 20-10. LSU has Sela. Southeastern Louisiana coming to town this Saturday, and there is no line on that game. Up one spot is the Miami Hurricanes. They just keep climbing the rankings, and they're at four now as they sent a message to USF that read, "You're just not ready for us yet." Hurricanes 49-12 roll, and they have the opportunity to make another statement as the Florida Gators are coming to town. Miami is a 7.5-point favorite, but none of us called that line at the beginning of the year. I was thinking that'd be a pick 'em going in, or Florida be favored by a field goal. At number five, we got Georgia, and I'm sorry I got to do this breakdown, Dano, but they're up a spot after they went to Rocky Top and won in a thriller, 44-41 against Tennessee in the game of the week. I know that one was a heartbreaker for the Tennessee faithful, but Gunnar Stockton really surprised me. Georgia's off on Saturday and have to travel to Alabama on the 27th. So
that running game is legit. Once they got it going, it was really impressive.
Yeah, and when they can option Stockton off of it, it gets really tricky to defend. And then you got Oregon at six. They go down two spots after winning 34-14 at Northwestern. Normally that would be enough to secure your spot, but the way Miami and Georgia looked, I'm comfortable with Oregon at six. Light work coming into town Saturday as the winless Oregon State Beavers come in as 34.5-point dogs. At number seven, we got the Florida State Seminoles up three spots. The Seminoles get the idle luck of the week as they jump up three and didn't even play anybody. But it's not all fun and games for Florida State Seminoles because they have to play Kent State. I'm joking. May God be with Kent State. Florida State is a 44.5-point favorite. At number eight, we got the Texas Longhorns down one spot, and rightfully so after a tough victory over UTEP 27-10. I don't say tough victory to knock UTEP because I think they play a really tough defensive game. I just think that Texas has some problems on offense that they're not willing to admit yet. So the Longhorns play Sam Houston State on Saturday, where they're a 41-point favorite. And, gentlemen, I have to be honest, I'm getting exhausted with the little guys against the big guys. I'm ready for it to be conference time. Speaking of conference play, at number nine, we got the Illinois Fighting Illini. No change for them, but they are going in to play the number 19 Indiana Hoosiers after schwacking Western Michigan 38-0. They are actually a 5.5-point road dog going into Indiana, and that's going to be a barn burner this week.
It's wild to me that Illinois versus Indiana is arguably the Big Ten game of the week. Like,
that's actually keys off what I wrote for the Big Ten really well, what you just said. So at number 10, one of the most impressive victories of the week, we got the Texas A&M Aggies jumping up six spots and rounding out. After going into South Bend and leaving Irish eyes crying, they stopped Notre Dame in a shootout 41-40. Notre Dame, you're 0-2, go away. A&M has the week off, and then they play number 22 Auburn on the 27th. I'm just kidding, Notre Dame fans, but my God, did I hear the national title talk in the offseason. Quiet down a bit.
Yeah, I think
you got to go 10-0.
Yeah, I think you could put a pin on them making the playoff this year. If they do, they'll be the most outside seed of outside seeds. Top 25 losses this week. You got 12 total for the season. Notable losses in the top 25. As mentioned, USF got roughed up by Miami. UGA had to play catch up and win in the stunner against Tennessee. The Fighting Irish, as just mentioned, lost. And then, of course, Clemson dropped their second game of the year with a walk-off field goal to win the game with Georgia Tech. And I will have to admit, man, like I said, I said it earlier this season, I was in the tank for Haynes King and Georgia Tech. I think they're a solid squad. You know, I think they'll be good. They'll have, you know, maybe 10 wins. I don't think they'll win the conference, but I think they're going to be respectable this season. And it's always nice to when, you know, I toss something out there and it actually works out.
That is aged quite well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're good. But it doesn't always work out that way. But so we went to the socials this week and asked for a topic, and the big topic that was presented was, you know, biggest rise and fall in the American Conference so far. And so so we have a little bit more to talk about. I expanded it to basically the Power Four conferences to talk about that. So, Dana, who do you think is the biggest rises and falls? We'll just have you hit yours, pass it to Joe, and then I'll wrap up.
So American and SEC or just
the SEC? You can do the American and the SEC.
I mean, Omar and I actually talked about this just a touch yesterday, but Tulane, like last year, I thought Tulane was a bunch of talented athletes who happen to play football on the same team. This year, that's not what they look like. This year, they look like a football team and, you know, kicking the crap out of Duke and some of the other big wins, pretty impressive. And, you know, USF obviously is getting all the highlights. And then I thought Memphis beating the ever-living hell out of Troy was also surprising. Like, I thought that would at least be a game. But yeah, Memphis was out there in a track meet. Like, they were doing 7-on-7 drills. In the SEC, we talked about Georgia. We talked about LSU. The biggest loser is Florida, obviously. And then, you know, my honorable mention is South Carolina taking an L to Vandy this week. You know, everybody always talking about, oh, South Carolina, this is your year. Dude, you cannot take an L to Vandy in your conference opener. Like, come on. That is – Vanderbilt is better.
Close L either. That was convincing. Like, they did lose Sellers. And the hit was deemed kind of dirty, but they still lost by 24.
Yeah. David Graves says, already hearing John Summerall to Florida rumors. Dude, I believe that. Hey, I said this earlier. The Coach Monken to your school talk has heated up pretty damn early in this season here in week freaking four.
Yeah, that's typically something that gives us heart attacks in the offseason. But, now we got to start thinking about it now because, again, like I was surprised as quickly as UCLA was showing the door. But over to you, Joe, because I think that's probably one of your topics as far as the Big 12 or the Big 10.
Yeah, I mean, I'll start off with the Big 10. the teams that are falling. I'll start with the first team that comes to mind when I think of a mess is the UCLA Bruins, who just fired Sean Foster midseason. Having said that about UCLA, it is LA, and they will find a big name to fill those shoes. I'm sure they'll be just fine. It's kind of more of an off year for them, and they can come back. Although Northwestern is a different story and a skeleton of what they used to be under Pat Fitzgerald. When you have a school that's difficult to get into academically, having a scandal like that, having a hazing scandal like that and a termination of a legendary head coach like they did, they better get ready for some dark years. And unfortunately for Northwestern, I think this is just the beginning. As far as the Big Ten right now risers, the two teams that I think of that are better than they have been in past years that are on the rise come to mind are the two teams playing this weekend, Indiana and Illinois. What a treat that we get to see them duke it out on Saturday. I honestly see that game going to Indiana because it's a home night game. Mm. But both teams made proper coaching hires, and that and programs that have money and care about football sometimes are all it takes to get things started to be turned around. Brett Bielema and Kurt Cignetti may not be my two favorite coaches, but they certainly were the right men for the job at Illinois and Indiana because they have those programs cooking. Now, as far as the Big 12 goes, the first team that comes to mind when I think of a shadow of his former self is the Oklahoma State Cowboys. I mean, they just had their worst season in the Mike Gundy era, which has spanned 21 years, finishing 3-9 in 2024. And then they just returned from Oregon last weekend where they lost by 66 points. I know they say all good things come to an end, and it would be sad to see, but maybe it's time for Mike Gundy to move on from Oklahoma State or the other way around. Now, as far as risers in the Big 12, this was a tough one because they're off to a pretty good start as a whole, collectively, the conferences. Like TCU and Texas Tech both look pretty tough, but the team that I feel that has the best upward trajectory is the Iowa State Cyclones, holding the 12th spot in the rankings and 4-0. The Cyclones have it cooking again and are currently in this early stage in the season in first place in the Big 12. So I think getting off that 4-0 start, going across the pond, beating Kansas State, and then, you know, they win the games that they're supposed to win. Mm. And unless you're Ohio State or Alabama or you know, in past years, or like Oregon against a small team, you don't have to win flashy. There's an O in the second column where the L's are supposed to go at the end of the year. No one cares how you did it.
Yeah, that's true. I think
Michigan barely beat Illinois the year they won the national title. Barely. Yeah, and no one remembers it.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is like when you look at the landscape of college football, I think, you know, the playoff kind of illustrated to, you know, the college football community that if you're a one-loss team, potentially a two-loss team, you know, you can make the playoff. And Ohio State basically represented both of those kind of flip-flops in the college football landscape. So, like, when we got away from the computers picking wins and losses and strength of schedule and turned into play on the field, you know, I would say that there are some teams that are going to be dangerous after the month of October. And typically those are, you know, Ohio State and Bama. But moving on to the ACC and talking about teams that are falling off, 100% it's Clemson, because like preseason talk is like Clemson's going to run the table. They're going to destroy everybody. We got it. It's like this is Dabo's year. You know, he's going to win
for the Heisman.
Yeah. Yeah. There was so much talk about, you know, them being the world beater that nobody anticipated them being this season, and it's just not working out. So that one's pretty straightforward. Again, I'm gonna stay with the home team of Georgia Tech, and I think the Ramblin' Wreck is gonna be outstanding this year. I think they're gonna do pretty well. I think they'll be the one that's the most surprising. Again, I don't think they'll win the conference, but I think they'll put it. You know, they'll put together a respectable enough season that people will appreciate it. But the bottom line is, it's college football. You know, we're used to seeing consistency in programs, and I think one of the things that the transfer portal has done, it's kind of eliminated that. It's salted it down quite a bit because teams that used to be able to recruit high-value talent all the time used to be able to maintain that high-value talent. And now if I'm a four-star athlete that's, you know, the backup free safety at Alabama, things ain't working out, I have options. So I'm not locked into that. And so I think that's why you're starting to see some of the parity. And I think the funniest meme that I've seen this season, other than the one about Clemson is in the ACC, and they're lost. Duke's lost to Tulane. You know, you spend $5 million to get freaking Tulane's quarterback to come to your school, and then you get waxed on
that
national.
Rather ironic.
Yeah, and then you get waxed on national television. So I think, you know, it's part of college football now. It sucks because, like, by the time you hang your jersey up at the end of the season, that guy could change teams. Who knows? But hopefully they'll get that worked out. But speaking about working things out, we have somebody that can help you work out a new mortgage for your home. Dana.
Friends, if you have listened to this show, you know that Craig Oxtane sponsors us. Craig is a member of the West Point class of 1994. He is a professional mortgage broker, works as an area sales rep for the Money Store. He is licensed to lend in all 50 states, even though he's based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Craig is going to offer super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And guys, the mortgage process is so confusing. Like, if you've never bought a house, you go in and you see this place like a handful of times, and then you lay down basically 3 or 4 years worth of salary on a place that you've spent a couple of hours in. And it is scary as anything, right? And you sign 2 inches of paperwork. And I'm telling you, you want somebody who's on your side, not some call center, not some random big box bank, not like get a mortgage from China, not I'm the smartest guy in the room and I work in Wall Street. You want a West Point graduate who's on your side. And this is how the West Point network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here. As for football, we're trying to introduce you to the man that you need to meet when you're doing your mortgage. So, and also, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. At a savings of about $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, dude, it's not even difficult. So, Craig Oxtane, area sales rep for the Money Store. Check him out. His link and Jocelyn's as well are on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. They've both got these little business cards there. Click on them. You'll be talking to Craig or Jocelyn in a couple of hours, and they'll get you set up for your next BCS move or whatever.
Thanks, Dan. Yeah, like I said, those two great Americans support their business. They're supporting us, and we'd love to support them and have them support you. Anyway, American games of the week to watch. You got Army taking on North Texas. Duh, that's a no-brainer. But those games are typically a very interesting contest. You know, Army leads the series, but they used to go back and forth between home and away. That has changed, and now it's just which team executes better. But given the fact that, you know, North Texas looked up on their previous opponent last week, this makes this a more compelling contest because you get to see if Army can essentially do what they did to K-State, and that's control the ball, keep that explosive offense on the sidelines, and win the game. But we will we'll move on. I think Rice and Charlotte seems to be like the only legit conference matchup this week, and that's the only one that's like head-to-head in the conference, and then the trap game for Georgia Tech because like you come off the big emotional win against Clemson, and then you're taking on a sneakily improving Temple squad, which is the American Conference rep for that game. So that one could be a little bit dangerous for, you know, for the Ramblin' Wreck. Anything else of note out there, Dana? What you got?
I will put in a plug for Arkansas at Memphis. As we said, you know, Memphis has looked amazing. They really haven't played anybody. So this, we get to see them against a little stiffer competition. I don't know that the Razorbacks are necessarily the class of the SEC, but they're better than Troy. And they get bonus points for putting that one at Memphis, which is amazing. So, yeah, man, what a year. Temple gets Oklahoma at their place, and now Arkansas at Memphis, had Duke at Tulane last year. Like, teams in the American are hosting Power Four schools.
Yeah, I think that's cool. I think that's tied to just the growth of the conference. Like, they're trying to make it a marquee conference in America. And, hey, it's the American conference. What gets more American than that, than having a Power Four school come to your, you know, come to your stadium, fill it up with fans, regardless of which side they're on. You know, a full stadium is good for your, it's good for your program. Let's move on to the games of the week. The week four schedule, crazy. Games on Thursday. So that Rice and Charlotte game that I mentioned is going to kick at 7:30 on ESPN tomorrow night. Friday games, you've got Tulsa, Oklahoma State. Like, that one's actually going to probably be a Skull Dragon, and it's probably going to be Oklahoma State. Like, and that's a weird one just because both of those teams are struggling right now, but we'll see which one comes out on top. And then you've got 8 o'clock on Fox, Iowa at Rutgers. Moving on to the Saturday matchups, kicking at noon, you've got North Texas at Army on CBS Sports Network. You've got Texas Tech at Utah. That should be a good game because both of those teams are usually pretty solid. Texas Tech is looking really much, much improved this season. And if I had them on the schedule in the latter half of the year, I would be a little bit concerned. You've got SMU at TCU on ESPN2 at 12. As previously mentioned, Arkansas at Memphis. You got UAB at Tennessee. I feel bad for UAB. Like, as a American Conference team, you know, they've played decent enough, but you know that and they're at, just be prepared to hear Rocky Top a lot.
I feel like at Central Michigan. The prediction for that one should be pain.
Yeah, like 100%. Army coaching alum Matt Drinkle takes on Wagner at Central Michigan. That'll be at 1 o'clock on ESPN Plus. You've got Purdue at Notre Dame. That's at 3:30 on NBC and Peacock. Tulane at Ole Miss. That's going to be a surprising matchup because the way Tulane is playing and Ole Miss, they're doing well, but they don't have that offensive zip like they had last year because their offense was out of control for most of the season. So it'll be interesting to see how, you know, Tulane matches up against their offense.
I mean, Ole Miss sent their quarterback to the Giants, and the Giants are too stupid to put him on the field. What can you do?
Yeah, for sure.
Very frustrating.
But like when you look at it from the perspective of you know, Tulane versus Ole Miss, that might be – mark that one on your calendars, folks. That's 3:30 on ESPN. I think that would be a really good one.
That's a trap spread.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see Kent Tulane State, make them out a nail biter.
Yeah, you got Kent State at Florida State. That's 3:30 on the ACC network. You got Michigan at Nebraska. That'll be a good game. I think Michigan has the edge in that one. I think it'll be based off a quarterback play. So you've got store brand Patrick Mahomes versus Bryce Underwood.
Great value. Great value, Mahomes. Yeah. Hey, the Bussin' with the Boys bet on that one because Will Compton played at Nebraska and Taylor Lewan played at Michigan. They have a bet that, you know, they do a podcast together. They got a bet against each other. And Lewan's was to shave his mustache, and Compton was he couldn't get a haircut. And Compton wouldn't take the bet. And Taylor Lewan said, how about this? I'll take Michigan and whatever you decide the bet is. Because the spread's only Michigan 2.5. It's going to be a very good test for this Michigan team.
Yeah,
I think about that when we have our picks.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good game, but you know, it's in Nebraska, so like typically when you're seeing contests like that, like the home team has the advantage. But you know, we'll see if Great Value Mahomes can get it done. I think that's beneficial. Put that one in the books. That's going to be permanently the name for that kid.
I got a couple other things I could say about that family. They're from Michigan, and the dad played for the Lions, and he was a bit of a bar hopper and quite rowdy. That's all I'll say. When he played for the Lions, he was a wild man.
Okay, yeah, that's interesting. Interesting thing of note. All right, so you got number 22 at Auburn at taking on number 11 Oklahoma. Scrolling down, Temple at Georgia Tech, we think is a trap game. That's on the CW though, so it's not on your typical programming channels. So make sure that you mark that one in your notebook. Boise State at Air Force, you know.
Hmm.
That might be a compelling matchup for someone. I'm just not sure who. I think Air Force is
fans of Boise State.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for sure. Like that, I think that was going to be an embarrassment at home. Sorry, Air Force. You're probably going to get taken to the cleaners on that one. You got South Carolina at Missouri. I think that'll be a compelling contest just because South Carolina is good, but they're streaky though. Like they'll put together two or three really great wins during the stretch of the season. And then they'll lose to somebody that they're absolutely not supposed to. And then they'll come out and blow out, like, you know, Clemson by 20 points. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. And they've always been that way. So if you're a South Carolina Gamecock fans, like, I don't know what to tell you for this one. Watch Vegas closely and then hope that it turns out the way that you think. You got Illinois, Indiana, as previously mentioned. Florida at Miami. That's actually that looks like a game that we care about now. Just based off of the play of both of those teams. Georgia State at Vanderbilt, that's a trap game for Vandy. Southeastern Louisiana, which is just ridiculous, at LSU. I think they'll keep the number 3 spot if they score 3,000 points, which is possible unless they pull the starters. LSU will probably remain in the number 3 spot. You got Michigan State at USC. Typically I don't pull for Michigan State, but the more freaking L's that Lincoln Riley can take, the better. And I think that covers it. And, of course, the super, super late kick. If you are up at midnight on Spectrum Sports, you can watch Fresno State at Hawaii. Now, if you're on the East or on the West Coast, that's a much easier kick time. But if you are on the central hub of the Eastern Seaboard. You can forget that one. Not so great. But let's move on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Yes, and Dan is very proud of the sounder. So who are we picking this week, guys?
I went 1-2 last week. I wanted to break the tie, which was stupid. K-State and Texas State both no-showed on offense, costing my overpicks by like 20 points each. I did hit on Memphis giving points to Troy. They could have given 20 points to Troy. This week, Rice -2.5 at Charlotte. Dude, Charlotte is a bad football team. I don't think Rice is great, but I don't think they're bad. So I think Rice, the Owls cover that pretty easily. And then we talked about this yesterday too, but I took two bets, North Texas at Army +2.5 and the total under 52.5. I really do not like to bet on the Black Knights, but this game moved from Army getting 2.5 to, or from Army giving 2.5 to now getting 2.5. And that 5-point move is to me just insane. Like, that's nuts. And I mean, it's like we didn't even see the Kansas State game. And I grant you, it doesn't always go exactly the same way, but that template is there. And I expect this game to look like the Western Michigan game, but even more so for North Texas.
Yeah. All right, Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I went 1-2 last week. Texas Tech took care of business and covered their 23.5. Oregon let in those two garbage touchdowns to just miss covering their spread. And then I was way off about South Florida covering 17 and having any kind of a close game against Miami. Once again, I'm picking three because that's how many I'm allowed. Number one is real simple. NC State +3.5 going into Duke. This one just screams take it. The Wolfpack are undefeated, and I just don't trust Duke after seeing them fall to Tulane and get blown out by Illinois at home. This team just does not scare me when they have the home field advantage, and NC State is undefeated. Give me the Wolfpack +3.5. Number two, I think we got a double up here, me and Colonel Rob. I read Syracuse +17.5 and jumped all over it because that's two touchdowns and a field goal they can lose by at Clemson. I think you have them at 16.5. I read what the line was when I picked them. Another one that isn't cute or creative. The Syracuse team was able to score 26 on Tennessee. I firmly believe that they can do that. If they can do it to Tennessee, then they can do it to Clemson. And I just don't think Clemson will score that many points to cover. I'll take the Orange +17.5. Then pick number three is Michigan. -2.5 at Nebraska. And it's kind of a heart and a head pick. Nebraska has played Cincinnati and nothing much else, unless you count Holy Cross as real competition. Coming out of the Oklahoma loss, Michigan could have been flat without their coach facing CMU. Instead, they won by 60. I think they're getting ready to bully Nebraska like they usually do. Even the Wolverines -2.5, I think they win 31-24.
Awesome. That's it for me. Yeah, so you know, I always tell you every year the Ducks always let me down. They let me down way earlier this season because I had a six-way parlay, and if they would have not let that score hit in garbage time, I would have won like $300. Not happy about that at all. So
you took it like a man. I tell you, I've seen guys take beats like that and cry for about 6 hours before. Grown-ups too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. It's about winning and losing. Like, sometimes it's about how you play the game. But like, yeah, I was not so happy with that.
It was a good play.
Yeah, I mean, it made sense. Like, that's the only reason why I took it, because it made sense. But you know, don't put your trust in Oregon. That's for everyone. I was hoping for a garbage time score at Wisconsin. Alabama looks as good as they did by dropping them by 24. Dano, plug your ears, or kids, plug your ears, because Dano's going to scream. UConn and Delaware with the track meet ended up scoring 85 points. I thought it was going to be a much closer game than that, low scoring, which is unbelievable. So this week I'm entering I'm entering feast or famine territory. So this week, take the over of 54.5 between West Virginia and Kansas. That seems like easy money because the Jayhawks have averaged around 40 points in three games. West Virginia can score in the first half. I don't know how they'll do in the back half of the game, but I can see this one going like 40-17. That's fairly reasonable. They'll hit 57 points. Take Tulsa to cover 14.5 against Oklahoma State. And I think Tulsa might, you know, sneakily keep this game a lot closer. They might actually even win it because Oklahoma State is bad, straight up bad this season.
I don't know how they're 13.5 point favorites over anybody after losing by 63.
Yeah, I,
And to speak on West Virginia in the second half, if Rich Rod's anything like he was the last time he coached big time ball, not good. They're not real.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a concern.
I know from experience, my friend.
I think legitimately, like West Virginia is way better in the first half than they are in the second half, because when they had to play catch up against Ohio, they just couldn't get it done. So I think if they jump out to an early lead, it may be a competitive contest, but you know, barring any major turnovers or catastrophes, I think this will be over sooner than we think. Like I said, take Tulsa to cover 14.5 at Oklahoma State. And, you know, I think we're doubling up again. Take Syracuse to cover 16.5 against Clemson. I think Clemson is in real trouble. I think their offense is not good. I think Syracuse has a better – like, all you heard in the offseason, Cade Klubnik, like, he's going to win the Heisman. He's going to be the front runner. Like, I don't even think people care about that guy anymore. You know, except for the people, you know, Clemson fans, hardcore Clemson fans will probably be there. But I think we can all say Clemson is Clemson at this point. And it's going to be a wild one. But I certainly think Syracuse will cover 16.5 going into that one. And Omar's picks will be in the Firsty Club on the weekly locks. So I'm not going to go through his because he's not here to defend himself. But we'll throw those in there in the update. So show closeout and our favorite thing. So, like, I wish I was traveling to all the various different college football stadiums that I've been, like, literally driving past for the last month. So I drove past the Air Force Stadium in Colorado Springs, and now I'm in Hawaii, and I've driven past the Hawaii Stadium a couple of times. But, you know, I think it's always good to, you know, to get out and catch a college football game. So if you haven't had the opportunity to do that, please do so. Get with Anna or Joe if you're in the area, because sometimes an extra ticket seems to fall away, and you can go see.
I have an extra ticket this week, actually. A little hesitant to say that in public, but it is true.
Hold up 3 tickets for the Michigan Ohio State game in November. No worries, you guys are coming, right? Chances are I may have had to have sold the baby for the last one.
Awesome. But again, hey, I'm on the road, but I'm always glad to join you guys and talk college football. This is going to be great. Hey, looking forward to doing it again from my own house. But the team here at the college
football. Wait. Hold on. Are you at least going to get to go to the beach before you leave Hawaii?
I have no idea, because I have to punch out and go to another meeting here in about 15 minutes. So I'm going to be running. Like, I may be able to get a sunset photo. But my favorite thing actually happened this morning. Actually, I got to talk to Adisa King, had an office call with him for work, but we got to catch up for a few minutes and just talk about, you know, Army football and, you know, the state of the team and the brotherhood. So it's always cool to catch up with people that you know from school. And it's been the first time in maybe 22 or 23 years that we have been in the same place at the same time. So I'm thankful for that. So that's my favorite thing. But for the crew here at the College Football Roundtable, I'm Rob from Waikiki, Hawaii. I've got Dano Ikebesa calling out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. Always great to talk football with you guys, and we will talk to you guys next week. And as always, beat North Texas.
Beat them.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.